Hi, kia ora, Dennis, and welcome.
Tēnā koe e te tuhini.
Dennis, I'm really bothered by the National Party drumbeat about gangs and fear-mongering their electorate. I got a letter from Chris Bishop basically saying, you know, the gangs are going to take over, Labor's soft on crime, and he's going to, you know, don't worry, as soon as National gets back in, we're going to really put the screws on gangs, so all will be well. And, you know, it's a pattern that, well, you and I, being old enough, have seen this, you know, election after election. Now, and, you know, it reminded me, you know, I mean, the minute I saw that, I thought, Jesus, I remember when Rob Muldoon was, you know, he developed relationships. I don't know if they were good, but relationships. And I thought, I wanted to talk to you about that because it was, you know, it was especially Black Power that had the best relationship with him. Can you sort of talk us through this campaign
of
Nationals?
Look, I've been telling our crews and that, look, just calm down. it doesn't matter. You know, it was under the fourth Labor government and Phil Goff that all of the programs that Dame Juliet Gerard is sort of recommending were disestablished. And that's when you saw the rise in the Māori prison population, and we haven't recovered from that yet. And I really thought, when the Ardern government came in, I thought, wow, you know, this is going to be the best place in the world to be a child. We were going to have all that. We're going to move from populism to penal reform, and I was quite chuffed. But of course, you go and have a look at what's happening in these boys' homes. That's Kohitini and you know, a Purdy boys' home back in the '70s, and that's where these gangs came from. As the Royal Commission's going, so you know, I don't think it's useful even trying to mount a rash argument. I've been going looking at this guy that's going around the country with one law for all and one flag, and English should be the main language, and God knows what. And you think, and we want our country called New Zealand. Well, hold on. Are you going to drag us off the coast of Europe? Should we all start speaking Dutch or something? You know. So, when you're dealing with this rhetoric, it's not logical. It's by emotion and feelings and fears and that. And you might as well let's get this bloody election over and done with. And because whoever is in power is going to have to deal with this stuff, you know. And unless you want to end up like in France or whatever, where you cannot, if you try and crush young people, they'll fight you back. And here's the rub. There's actually some really good intelligent policing going on at the moment. I mean, you know, they're arresting the hell out of people who don't want to play ball and who want to sell drugs and who want to, you know, do whatever. But on the other hand, they're working with pro-social leaders. I mean, the fight that didn't happen, the murder that didn't happen, doesn't get a lot of news, you know. I reckon, you know, I think it'd be like in bloody Hobbitsville. It's just time to go and have a sleep while they get this all brouhaha sorted out amongst themselves, you know.
You know, the thing that worries me is we've got three parties now. We've got ACT has been leading the charge on the drumbeat. And then we've got Winston has jumped on and says he's going to be tougher than anybody. He's going to, you know, really lock in three, what is it, three crimes and you're out.
Three strikes, and now three next, strikes, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, and now well, we've got oh, oh, jumping in.
Oh, and don't forget Labor. You
really?
Know, I mean, there's not. Oh, yeah, there's not a cigarette paper that you could pass between them. You know, the rhetoric changes a wee bit, but you go and listen to Mr. Hipkins. You know, you know, they want to be tough on and all this sort of stuff. So and they've been unwinding a lot of those Māori initiatives, and you're not allowed to sort of, you know, you're not allowed to close the gaps or talk in that sort of language. So I wouldn't, you know, I don't think it's actually meaningful, and I just let them prattle on like some drunk on the corner, and don't pay a lot of bloody heed, actually, quite frankly. Because once the election's over and they actually have the reins of power and they've got the actual information before them, I think the tune will change. It'll have to change. And if, you know, I mean, you've got the National Party guy, the spokesman was a police dog handler, and crikey dickie might be the Minister of Police. And he's out there talking to his mates and getting all upset over the, you know, they want to get back and take control of the streets, and they want to be the biggest gang in town again, and, you know, all those Maoris are getting uppity and all this sort of stuff, and you know, oh my goodness, you know. Yep. Yeah, so I reckon time for a trip to Rarotonga or Aitutaki or something, Donna, and, know, just block the buggers out, and, you know, and... plan, you know, like the beautiful thing about Dame Juliet's recent report is the shift in focus to wahine Māori and to the tamariki and rangatahi. And I'm working with my crews. We're staying out of the political game altogether. I don't care who people vote for. Because it's who could predict what happens? It's just madness. It's like dealing with Donald Trump or something, you know. So, you know.
What is that report, Dennis? The Dame Juliet.
So when John Key, so Peter Gluckman, if you remember, coming on the back of Mr. English saying, look, you know, prisons are a moral and financial failure, and that we need to move to social investment and evidence-based policy. And Peter Gluckman said, well, look, it's about time we started applying a social sciences. And Dame Juliet Gerard has picked up on that, and she's just produced a very comprehensive report called Toward an Understanding of Aotearoa New Zealand's Adult Gang Environment. And she's speaking the language that you were speaking 40 years ago in terms of the need for literacy, for the care of children, and saying that this is, you know, post-colonial, it's complex. You can't police your way through it. You can't arrest your way through it. If we could get this to be a non-political sort of issue, that would be great. But don't hold your breath. And if the monolingual old nobbies of the world, you know, Nobby Clark and you know, so if the nobbies, and at the moment the nobbies have got their say, and they're riding the airwaves, and I just let's just see what happens on the election. Who the hell knows?
No. The thing that worries me though is it's not actually who wins the election, because you know, after, you're so right. I can remember in previous campaigns, National doing a drumbeat on Māori. And the gangs were really just a metaphor for Māoridom. But
exactly,
when they got into town,
exactly.
Yeah, it was actually a different story. And, you know, we know that some of the biggest initiatives that we've had actually happened under National. I mean, Kohanga Reo getting funded was one of them.
Isn't that hilarious? I mean, I tell people the story of Sam Jamieson, Dame Edie Tawhiwharangi, and Rob Muldoon using the employment schemes to fund the Kohanga Reos, you know. And I can remember at Sam's farewell, Treasury officers blanching when he told them this story, you know. it's paradoxical. What was happening when we had those work schemes and that going was that you were seeing gang membership was actually falling off because people were going through that period of alienation and youthful sort of ennui, as it were, and then we had and they got into a work pattern, and then they met a partner, and they were paying taxes, and they were tired at the end of the day. And say if you're in Auckland, you could look around the Panmure Basin and say, "Well, I built that," or out at Motat, "Well, I built that," you know, and you could feel good about yourself. But then we unstitched that, and then the next minute you had the Indigenous gangs being criminalised. And, of course, at the moment, do you know that in the last year, the amount of methamphetamine interdicted at our border has increased by 4,000%? So this stuff is being shoved at us, like, you know, and there's not one atom of methamphetamine is Indigenous to this country, you know. So this stuff's being shoved at us. And those of us that are trying to, you know, help people stay off it, well, we haven't got a bloody show, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a bottle store on every corner, you know. So, I have great sympathy for hardworking people running dairies and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, in the main, what's getting robbed, you know? Well, it's vape stores, it's dairies for cigarettes and bottle stores for alcohol, and then the old jeweler's store for bling. It's a lot of it is driven by social media and what these young people are seeing from abroad. All that stuff on those dirt bikes and all that sort of stuff. I mean, it's all on TikTok and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, so that's, and we, you know, we need to find stuff that's more exciting, kapa haka, whatever. I was just talking to a fella just a few minutes ago, and he was talking about down in Wellington and how, you know, when these guys all playing sports together, that is where, you know, a lot of the problems get sorted. So I think the old community development adage is feed the positive, starve the negative. And and so I think we're just going to have to buckle down and bite our bloody tongues for a few months and let these guys go as crazy as possible and record it. I'm working through this guy's going to talk in Miani next week, this anti-Three Waters co-governance stuff, and I've just got a spreadsheet out, and I'm going through every ludicrous argument that he's putting up, and equipping our people with a rebuttal. It's nonsense. It's hurtful. It's sad that it's being picked up by the media. I thought that was very insightful the other day. I read an article where the, you know, the so-called, you know, the, all the hoo-ha over trying to get some equity for Māori in the health system, you know, the most destructive forces there are the media, who beat it up. And I heard what's his name, Mike Hoskins, the other day, talking about the Maorification of New Zealand. The Maorification of, where the hell do you think we are? I mean, how stupid is that?
Yeah. They really are. I mean, the thing that bothers me most is that, you know, they're playing on this whole deep-seated racist ideas that they've got of white superiority and Māori inferiority. And, you know, they've pigeonholed us. They've caused bloody massive poverty in our country and among Māori, and then pointed us as though somehow we caused it. And what hacks me off about this, Dennis, this stuff that Nash, it just happened to come across my feed, is that there are so many Pākehas out there who will be inflamed by this. You know, it ignites sleeping dogs, the racism that they've been brought up with that might have you know, dulled down, and they got used to having a bit of reo here and there. They got used to, you know, a lot of things. They've actually shifted, their kids have shifted, and all it does is it's pouring petrol on a fire that is best left unlit. That's what bothers me. And so, you're right that after the election, you know, it's going to go back, and whoever gets in, they're going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, that lingering flame that Trump has met so brilliantly in America, you know, my hope is that it doesn't flare up any more than it already does.
No, well, I our community, we're having a meeting tonight over the, you know, the Cyclone Gabrielle recovery thing, you know.
Yeah.
And what I saw there was a whole community pulling together. It didn't matter who you were. And yes, a lot of those things have been inflamed in this absurd notion over Maori privilege. I mean, you know, that you know, costs $196,000 to keep someone in prison, and all those Maoris are using up the prison beds. You know, Maori privilege. I mean, give me a break. So I just, you know, when, you know, I think of the drunk on the corner. You can't talk bloody sense to them. Wait till they sober up after the election, and then and then we'll, you know, we there's going to be some forgiveness required, because relationships have been damaged, and if there was ever a time, you know, we are being assailed, that figure I quoted you of the methamphetamine coming across our borders, well, you could say that this is chemical warfare, you know, and that we know that we are subject to disinformation and misinformation from foreign players. It is in their interests to keep our society divided. So I think, you know, okay, well, the brouhaha's on, you know, and you know, trying to speak logic to drunk people is just a waste of time. I mean, these guys are drunk on the quest of power. So wait till they sober up, you know, wait till they sober up, and let's talk sense then.
Hang on a minute, Dennis, before you go.
Yep.
I wonder if you take us back to the interactions that Muldoon had. Like, how did that start? And how I mean, that was a big program that he got through. You know, those PP things are incredible.
Well, you've got to look behind. So both his matrilineal and patrilineal lines were almost socialist. His grandmother, they ran a place for waifs, and had he been born brown, he probably would have been a gang leader. That's what I used to tell him anyway. you know, my dear friend Marilyn Waring, you know, like, you know, Rob was a bully. And particularly once the alcohol got hold of him, he could be quite objectionable. But on the other hand, he was not a racist. I had huge arguments with him over Bastion Point and the Springboks tour and all those sorts of things. But he saw the redemptive value of work, and he saw these young people as actually having, you know, you go back before him to Ralph Hanna. I mean, you know, they, you know, like there was the stopping the death penalty. There was homosexual law reform eventually. You know, I mean, those old Tories were actually, you know, in the Jim Bolger mold, in the sort of a fair and just society mold, and they didn't buy into this crap. You know, as I say, drunk with the quest for power, and they're going to say any blithering old thing at the bar, and make speeches on street corners, and we just have to wait till they sober up, I reckon.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dennis. Dennis, how are things going with your cyclone recovery at Waiohiki Marae?
Moving at pace? Well, not, you know, so we're going to have a bit of an argument tonight over the bridge because they, you know, people are moaning that they're stuck in traffic and all that sort of stuff. And I'm saying, well, hold on. We didn't, you know, they just strengthened the embankments, you know, the stop banks to protect Carradale and to protect Napier. To 500 year flat. They did it. We don't even have a stop bank at Waiohiki. There's no stop bank whatsoever. So we took a big hit to save Napier and Carradale. And now they want to, and then over time, the little road that goes through our village has turned into a, you know, from 6 a.m. in the morning until 10 a.m., it's just chocker. And the same thing from 4 p.m. Until 6 p.m. In the afternoon. And we're saying, well, hold on. This road wasn't fit for purpose. And if we're going to be hit by a disaster, we realise it's a bit inconvenient for you being stuck in traffic. But that doesn't mean to say that your inconvenience needs to be vested upon our kāinga. And so while this bridge is down, you know, we're going to use that as a point of negotiation. When my kids were young, there wasn't even a footbridge across there. The Māori kids had to walk across the bridge, hanging onto the side rails, until we got to the point where we took direct action, and we had it like an elongated crossing. And every 30 minutes, we'd stop all the traffic and we'd walk all the kids across. And that got to the point where they finally put a footbridge across. So I think, you know, at the moment, and we're having the discussions now, what would Waiohiki look like in 50 years' time if we had a chance to design it, rather than having the Hastings District Council just force their way upon us and try and return to the status quo. So it'll be an interesting little meeting in the Taradale Town Hall tonight, I think.
Thank you for that, Dennis. Hey, and it'd be interesting to get some feedback on the Three Waters Pākehā whala that's going around the country, you know, really.
I thought Baden, you know, I thought Baden, our tribal chairman, in calling him out and saying, let's have an open debate. There's no need to sneak around the back doors of Ngāti Kahununu. We're big enough to be able to sit down and put your cordial out here. But as I say, as I've been going through it, it's just madness. I mean, they're talking about, you know, these tribal companies and all that. Well, hold on, what the hell's Fletcher's? You know, what are these big domestic Pākehā companies? You know, I mean, it's just, oh my goodness. So anyway, I think just calm voices, let the drunk sober up. We'll talk after the election.
Uh-huh. Oh, thanks so much, Dennis, for your words of wisdom tonight.
We'll see you. Ka pai.
Gosh, it was so great to hear from Dennis. My mind immediately sprung back to the days when Rob Muldoon really engaged with gangs, and you know, the image of Thea Muldoon sitting at her husband's tangi between two big Black Power people, men. You know, it leapt into my mind, and you know, just in terms of what the National Party is doing at the moment with ACT and New Zealand First, really, you know, what a dirty campaign to use Māoridom as a way of creating fear amongst the population, Pākehā population, and really lighting racial fires that are going to burn. And, you know, the ones who get burned in the end, once all the Pākehās are stirred up, will be us. So I'm just so pleased to have had that short interview with Dennis. And coming up, Harry Tam, who really ignited this whole issue by sending some emails, which was saying that he was going to vote Labour. He wasn't speaking on behalf of the Mongrel Mob, although he is a senior member of the Mongrel Mob. So coming up, Harry Tam.